بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah salam and salam be upon the noble prophet, and the believers of his family, and the honorable companions, and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. This is the explanation of Riyad al-Salihin, and this hadith is hadith number 19, and this class is class number 18. وعن زر بن حبيش قال أتيت صفوان بن عسال رضي الله عنه أسأله عن المسح على الخفين، فقال ما جاء بك يا زر؟ فقلت ابتغاء العلم. زر بن حبيش reported, I went to صفوان بن عسال رضي الله تعالى عنه to inquire about wiping with wet hands over light boots while performing wudu. He asked me, what brings you here, زر؟ فقلت, I said, ابتغاء العلم, searching for knowledge. فقال إن الملائكة تضع أجنحتها لطالب العلم رضا بما يطلب. He has said the angels spread their wings for the seeker of knowledge out of joy and pleasure for what he seeks. I told him, فقلت إنه قد حك في صدري المسح على الخفين بعد الغائط والبول وكنت امرأ من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فجئت أسألك هل سمعته يذكر في ذلك شيئا؟ I told him, I have some doubts in my mind regarding wiping of wet hands over light boots in the course of performing wudu after defecating or urinating. Now, since you are one of the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, I have come to ask you whether you heard any saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning it. He said, قَالَ نَعَمْ قَالَ نَعَمْ يَأْمُرُنَا إِذَا كُنَّا سَفْرًا. He replied in the affirmative and said, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed us that during a journey we need not take off our light boots for washing the feet up to 3 days and nights, except in case of major impurity, sexual defilement, janaba, لكن من غائط وبول ونوم. In other cases such as sleeping, relieving oneself or urinating, the wiping of wet hands over light boots will suffice. فقلت هل سمعته يذكر في الهوى شيئا؟ Did you hear him saying anything about love and affection? قال نعم. He said yes. كنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في سفر. We accompanied the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم in a journey. فبينا نحن عنده إذ ناداه أعرابي بصوت له جوهري يا محمد. We accompanied the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم in a journey when a Bedouin called out in a loud voice, O Muhammad. فأجابه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نحو من صوته ها أم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم replied him in the same tone, Here I am. فقلت له ويحك. I said to the Bedouin, Woe to you. أغضض من صوتك. Lower your voice in his presence. فَإِنَّكَ عِنْدَ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم, because you are not allowed to do so. You are with the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. وَقَدْ نُهِيتَ عَنْ هَذَا. فَقَالَ وَاللَّهِ لَا أَغْضُضْ. He said, by Allah, I will not lower my voice. فَقَالَ الْأَعْرَابِي الْمَرْءُ يُحِبُّ الْقَوْمَ وَلَمَّا يَلْحَقْ بِهِمْ. The Bedouin said, what about a person who loves people but has not found himself in their company? قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المرء مع من أحب يوم القيامة. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, on the day of resurrection, a person will be in the company of those whom he loves. فما زال يحدثنا حتى ذكر بابا من المغرب مسيرة عرضه أو يسير الراكب في عرضه 40 or 70 عاما. Sufyan, one of the narrators, or the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then kept on talking to us, and in the course of his talk he mentioned a gateway in the heaven, the width of which would be crossed by a rider in 40 or 70 years. قال سفيان أحد الرواة قبل الشام خلقه الله تعالى يوم خلق السماوات والأرض مفتوحا للتوبة لا يغلق حتى تطلع الشمس منه رواه الترمذي وغيره وقال حديث حسن صحيح. Sufyan, one of the narrators of this tradition, said the gateway is in the direction of Ash-Sham. Ash-Sham is the greater Syria area. Allah created it on the day He created the heavens and the earth. It is open for repentance. And remember, our topic is about repentance. It is open for repentance and will not be shut until the sun rises from that direction. From that direction, from that, meaning from the west, on the doom's day. This hadith is narrated by At-Tirmidhi and others, and At-Tirmidhi graded it as hadithun hasanun sahih, a good and authentic hadith. This explanation, the explanation of the hadith, this hadith is from the ahadith At-Tawbah, is from ahadith At-Tawbah, is from the narrations about At-Tawbah, which the author, rahimahullah, mentioned in this chapter as to when the Tawbah shall cease and not be accepted. Now, this hadith comprises many benefits. First benefit, Zir bin Hubaysh came to Safwan bin Assal in this hadith, as it is narrated, seeking knowledge, min ajl al-ilm, yabtaghi al-ilm, in search for knowledge. فقال له صفوان بن عسال, Safwan told him, إن الملائكة لتضع أجنحتها لطالب العلم رضا بما يطلب. The angels spread and lower their wings out of joy for the one who seeks knowledge. And this is a great benefit, indicating the merit of ilm and the merit of the seeker of knowledge. And what is mentioned here about knowledge, this refers to the knowledge of the deen, the legal knowledge, العلم الشرعي, علم ما جاء به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the knowledge brought by the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. As to علم الدنيا فللدنيا, as to the knowledge about the worldly affairs, then it is for this world, for this life of this world. However, seeking the knowledge brought forth by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the thing which is commendable and praised and lauded, and which is incited by the Quran and the Sunnah to be sought, and it is a kind of jihad in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this deen is established by two matters, bil ilmi wal bayan, knowledge and explanation, and وبالسلاح, by the weapon, the safe, the sword. Even to the extent that some of the scholars had mentioned, إن طلب العلم أفضل من الجهاد في سبيل الله بالسلاح, that seeking knowledge is better than the jihad with arms in the battlefield. Why? لأن حفظ الشريعة إنما يكون بالعلم. It is because the preservation of the Sharia is established by knowledge. والجهاد بالسلاح, and jihad by weapons in the battlefield في سبيل الله, مبني على العلم, is based upon knowledge. لا يسير المجاهد ولا يقاتل, the mujahid does not go out and fight, and does not cease from fighting, and does not take from the booties and does not rule regarding the captives except by way of knowledge. So the ilm is kullu shay. فَالْعِلْمُ إِذَنْ. And so ilm, knowledge is everything. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jal said in Surah Al-Mujadila, chapter 58, verse 11, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. يَرْفَعُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات. Allah will give ample room for His mercy, and Allah will exalt in degree those of you who believe and those who have been granted knowledge, and Allah is well acquainted with what you do. And the angels spreading their wings to the seeker of knowledge out of joy and pleasure and respect and magnification for him. And this cannot be rejected by simply saying أَنَا لَا أُحِسُّ بِذَلِكَ, I don't feel this, that the angels lower their wings and spread out their wings. I don't feel that. The answer is إِذَا صَحَّ الْخَبَرُ عَنِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَإِنَّهُ كَالْمُشَاهَدِ عَيَانًا. If the news and reporting from the Prophet عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ is authentic, then it is as being clear manifestation, as you see it by your eyes. أَرَأَيْتَ قَوْلَهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Don't you contemplate concerning the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ينزل ربنا تبارك وتعالى كل ليلة إلى السماء الدنيا حين يبقى ثلث الليل الآخر فيقول من يدعوني فأستجيب له, من يسألني فأعطيه, من يستغفرني فأغفر له, as in Al-Bukhari hadith volume 2 hadith 246. Our Rabb Azza wa Jal, the blessed and the most high, comes down every night to the nearest heaven, comes down every night to the nearest heaven to us during the last third of the night, and says, is there anyone who invokes, demands anything from me so that I may respond to his invocation? Is there anyone to ask me? Is there anyone to invoke me so that I may respond to invocation? Is there anyone to ask me so that I may grant him his request? Is there anyone seeking my forgiveness so that I may forgive him? We don't hear هذا الكلام, this speech from Allah Azza wa Jal. However, لما صح عن نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم صار كأننا نسمعه. But since it is authentically related from our Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, it is as such as we hear it. And therefore, it is incumbent upon us أن نؤمن, believe بما قال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم, in what the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم says, وبما صح عنه من أمور الغيب, and in all that which is authentically related from him concerning the matters of the unperceived realities, and that وأن نكون متيقنين لها, that we take it by certainty, كأنما نشاهدها بأعيننا, just as we see it by our own eyes, ونسمعها بأذاننا, and we hear it by our own ears. Then in the hadith, Zir bin Hubaysh mentioned to the Safwan bin Assal, that some kind of doubt came to him concerning the wiping of wet hands over the light boots in the course of performing the wudu after defecation and after the urination. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 6, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَاغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ. So, he said, now since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this, O who you believe, when you intend to offer a salah, wash your faces and your hands, your forearms, up to the elbows, rub by passing wet hands over your heads, and wash your feet up to the ankles. He said then, some kind of doubt came to me, hesitation and doubt concerning the wiping over the leather boots after defecation or urination. Is this permissible or not? So Safwan bin Assal explained to him that this is permissible. لِأَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ, it is because the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ, as in the hadith, directed them, commanded them, instructed them that during a journey they don't need to take off their light boots for washing the feet except from or due to sexual defilement, major filth or impurity, and this is janabah, but not due to sleep, urination, and wiping of defecation. Meaning for these matters it is permissible, but with janabah it is not. So this indicates therefore the permissibility of wiping the wet hands over the leather boots. Rather, إن المسح على الخفين, the wiping is better if the person had already put them on in a state of purification. And it is affirmed in the Sahihain, in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, from the hadith of Al-Mughira bin Shu'ba, as we discussed in Umdat al-Ahkam, that he was with the Prophet ﷺ on a journey, and the Prophet ﷺ made wudu, so Al-Mughira came down to take off his boots, and the Prophet ﷺ said, دَعْهُمَا, leave them, فَإِنِّي أَدْخَلْتُهُمَا طَاهِرَتَيْنِ, because I had put my feet therein in a state of purity. And he wiped over them. So this is a clear proof that the person wearing leather boots or socks, then it is better for him to wipe over them and not wash the feet. And from the benefits is that when the person encounters a problem regarding matters of the deen, then it is incumbent upon him to ask and search for those who may be more knowledgeable than him, so that he does not leave himself with any doubt. And it is as such, this is required, because some people fall into this matter. They find unease regarding certain regulations which they don't understand, or certain matters, and they stay in a state of hesitation and doubt. They don't ask anyone so as to remove this doubt, and this is clearly a mistake. Rather, one should ask so that he becomes certain and removes away any kind of doubt and or hesitation. So here Zir bin Hubaysh rahimahullah asked Safwan bin Assal radiallahu anhu about wiping over the leather boots and whether he knew anything from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam regarding this matter, and Safwan told him yes, he used to command us and that if we are on a journey that we don't take them off except to wash the feet in case of sexual defilement. And therefore this hadith stands as a proof for the affirmation of this permissibility of wiping the wet hands over the khuffain, the leather socks, and also the socks. And the narrations regarding this are consecutive and many, and Ahlus Sunnah took by that. Even some of the people of knowledge included this in chapters in the books of creed. Why? Because the Rafida, the rejectionists, opposed in this matter, and they did not affirm the wiping, and they denied it. And it's amazing that from those who narrated the wiping out over the leather boots was Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. And these rejectionists claim that they love and follow Ali bin Abi Talib and magnify him. Yet they deny and they don't take by his wording and his narration. And therefore it is now evident that the wiping over the leather boots or socks is from the symbols of Ahlus Sunnah, who have no doubt about it, that this is from the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, Al-Imam Ahmad said, لَيْسَ فِي قَلْبِي مِنَ الْمَسْحِ شَكٌ. There is no doubt in my heart regarding the wiping. أو قال, or that he said, شَيْءٌ فِيهِ أَرْبَعُونَ حَدِيثًا عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَأَصْحَابِهِ. This matter has 40 narrations from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions. However, the wiping over the leather socks or socks has certain conditions to it. And we mentioned those in Umdat al-Ahkam. And they are as follows. Number one, that the socks and or the leather boots should be weird or should be put on in a state of purity. Being in a state of purity, because the Mughira bin Shu'ba, when he intended to take off the boots, the Prophet ﷺ said, leave them, I put them tahiratayn, pure, and he wiped over them. And there is no difference between having this state of purity following the washing of the feet or following a wiping over a previously put leather socks or socks. For example, if someone makes complete wudu, washes the feet, puts on the socks, then in this case he puts them on in a state of tahara, of purity. Similarly, if he had put on the socks before and wiped over them, then he needed to add one more socks and puts on this socks on top of the first one upon which he wiped. In this case, he can wipe over the second one. However, the beginning of timing for the wiping starts with the wiping on the first, not from the wiping not from the time of wiping on the second. This is the correct opinion. Is this clear? The timing begins with the former wiping on the first one, not from the wiping on the extra socks he had put on. The second condition, the purification must be by means of water, not based upon purification by tayammum. For example, a person on a journey having no water, so he makes tayammum, dry ablution, and wears the socks in a state of tayammum purification. Then afterwards he finds the water and wanted to make wudu. In this case, he must take off the socks and wipe and washes the feet when making wudu. And it is not permissible to wipe over the socks when he makes the wudu, because he did not put them on taharatu ghusl. He did not put them on in a state of purity by way of washing the feet, because tayammum is related to two parts only: al-wajhu wal-kaffan, the face and the hands, not the feet. So therefore, the second condition, the purification must be by way of water, not by way of purification by tayammum. The third condition, the wiping covers states related to the minor impurity, like defecation, urination, sleep, not janaba, sexual defilement. It is not permissible to wipe over the socks or the leather boots in the case of janaba. Rather, they should be taken off and the feet washed, because the major purification has no wiping except due to necessity, like wiping over the cast. And that's why لا يمسح فيها الرأس, the major impurity, the major state of impurity, there is no wiping over the head. Rather, there must be a washing of the head when making purification from this major state. The third condition, or the fourth condition, the wiping must comply with the timing assigned by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and this is يوم وليل للمقيم, a day and one night for the person in residence, and 3 days and nights, 3 days with their nights for the traveler, as it was authentically related from the hadith of Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu in Sahih Muslim. جعل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, assigned ثلاثة أيام ولياليهن, 3 days and their nights for the musafir, for the person on a journey, ويوما وليلة, and 1 day and 1 night for the resident, meaning in time. time in terms of wiping over the socks or leather boots. So if فإذا انتهت المدة فلا مسح, when the time period is finished or ends, then there is no wiping. The person must take off the socks or the leather boots, then washes the feet. However, if the timing period ends while the person is in a state of tahara and continues, فاستمر على طهارتك, then continue to be on your state of purification, then your tahara is not nullified. However, if you intend to make wudu after the timing period is over, then it's inevitable that you wash the feet. Then in the next part of the hadith, Zir bin Hubaysh asked Safwan bin Assal, هل سمع من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول في الهوى شيئا? Did he hear the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم saying anything about love and affection? So he said yes. Then he mentioned the story of the Bedouin who spoke loudly, shouting loudly, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad, loud voice. So he was told, Wayhak, woe to you. تنادي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بصوت مرتفع. You call upon the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام with a loud voice, while Allah عز وجل says in Surah Al-Hujurat in chapter 49 verse 2, يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي ولا تجهروا له بالقول كجهر بعضكم لبعض أن تحبط أعمالكم وأنتم لا تشعرون. Oh, you believe, raise not your voices above the voice of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, nor speak aloud to him in talk as you speak aloud to one another, lest your deeds may be rendered fruitless while you perceive not. However, the Bedouins, they don't know of the etiquettes, and they don't know much about etiquettes because they live away from civil centers and cities and away from knowledge. So the Prophet ﷺ responded with the same voice as the Bedouin did. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ is the most perfect in terms of guidance, giving each person in accordance with what his intellect can relate to and bear. So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام responded likewise. قال له العربي, the Bedouin said, المرء يحب القوم ولما يلحق بهم. المرء يحب القوم, the person may love some people. So what about a person then who loves these people but has not found himself in their company? Meaning, his works, his deeds are lesser in degree than them. Would he be still with them, however? So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام responded, المرء مع من أحب يوم القيامة. The person, on the day of resurrection, the person will be in the company of those whom he loves. And it is narrated from Anas bin Malik رضي الله عنه, the same meaning like this hadith as in Sahih al-Bukhari volume 5 hadith number 37, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told a person who loved Allah and his Messenger, إِنَّكَ مَعَ مَنْ أَحْبَبْتْ, you will be with those whom you love. So Anas said, فَأَنَا أُحِبُّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَأَبَا بَكْرْ وعمر وأرجو أن أكون معهم. I love رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم and أبو بكر and عمر وأرجو أن أكون معهم and I hope I will be in their company. وهكذا أيضا and similarly we do نشهد الله عز وجل على محبة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وخلفائه الراشدين وصحابته وإمة الهدى من بعدهم ونسأل الله أن يجعلنا معهم. And similarly we take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a witness for our love to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and his rightly guided caliphs and his companions and the scholars of guidance afterwards, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be in their company. This is the hadith. A man asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the hour, saying, when will the hour be? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what have you prepared for it? The man said, nothing, except that I love Allah and His Messenger. So the Prophet ﷺ said, you will be with those whom you love. We had never been so glad as we were on hearing that saying of the Prophet ﷺ. This Anas said, you will be with those whom you love. Therefore I, meaning Anas, I love the Prophet ﷺ, Abu Bakr and Umar, and I hope that I will be with them because of my love for them, though my deeds are not similar to these, to theirs. This is a glad tiding if one loves some people, then he will be in their company even though the deeds may not be equivalent. He will be with them in paradise, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathers them together and they will drink from the pond of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, all of them. Similarly, the one who loves the kafirs, it may be that he will be with them. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. We seek refuge in Allah from this, because loving the kafirs is haram, and we are talking about the legal love. Rather, it is one of the major sins, and therefore it is incumbent upon the believer to hate the kafir, the kuffar, the disbelievers, and know that they are enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how they pretend from friendship and love and so forth, because they won't in any way incline to you and get closer to you except for a benefit for themselves and for a harm to you. And it is remote that they do so for your own benefit. If you can combine fire and water, then you may do so and combine the love of the kuffar to us and their enmity to us, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who called them enemies. قال الله عز وجل in Surah Al-Mumtahina verse 1 chapter 60 verse 1, يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا عدوي وعدوكم أولياء. عدوي وعدوكم أولياء. عدوي وعدوكم أولياء. O who you believe, take not my enemies and your enemies as friends. Showing affection wholeheartedly towards them, this is forbidden. وقال الله عز وجل in Surah Al-Baqarah in chapter 2 verse 98, من كان عدوا لله وملائكته ورسله وجبريل وميكال فإن الله عدو للكافرين. Whoever is an enemy to Allah, His angels, His messengers, Jibreel, Gabriel and Mikael, then verily Allah is an enemy to the kafirin. And this legal hate of the kufr and the kafirs, of the disbelief and the disbelievers, this is a legal hate, and as we discussed many times, this in no way contradicts the kind of jibilli love, the natural love of a Muslim towards a kafir who happens to be a relative. This is something natural, has nothing to do with the legal love, meaning in subscription to the commands, to the legal commands. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly states that kullu kafir, every kafir, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌ لَهُ, Allah is an enemy to him. وَكُلُّ كَافِرْ فَإِنَّهُ عَدُوٌ, therefore لَنَا, and therefore every kafir is an enemy to us, because they don't intend except that which is evil for us. And therefore we should have this legal hate of kafirs and their kufr, irrespective of their kind and so forth. The believer must know, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated, that they are enemies of the believers. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Mumtahin, as we mentioned earlier, يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا عدوي وعدوكم أولياء. O who you believe, take not my enemies and your enemies as friends, wholehearted friends, showing affection and love towards them. And this does not prevent the believer from being just and deals justly with the kafirs, because we are commanded to do so. Irrespective of their enmity towards us, we are commanded to deal with them justly, except those who transgress from them. And we take from this a great foundation, which the Prophet ﷺ had stipulated, had laid down, and it is al-mar'u ma'man ahab, that the person will be on the day of resurrection with the one whom he loves. So as the Shaykh rahimahullah said in the final words of this explanation, فَعَلَيْكَ يَا أَخِي, also my brother, أن تشد قلبك على محبة الله تعالى ورسوله وخلفائه الراشدين وصحابته الكرام وأئمة الهدى من بعدهم لتكون معهم. So my brother, you should firmly establish your heart on love to Allah Azza wa Jal and His Messenger and the four rightly guided caliphs and the noble companions and the imams of guidance after them, who came after them from the successors and the successors to the successors and the scholars who follow on their path, so that you be with them. And he ended the explanation of this hadith by saying, نَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ أَنْ يُحَقِّقَ لَنَا ذَلِكَ بِمَنِّهِ وَكَرَمِهِ وَاللَّهُ الْمُوَفِّقِ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to manifest this to us by His generosity and His bounty and favor, and bestow that upon us, and He is the granter of all success. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This brings the end of the explanation of this hadith, of the hadith of Safwan bin Assal.